Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my only one who managed to play a pre-release in this podcast, the host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, How you doing tonight?
Oh, dude, it's good to be back. I mean, even after a week, like we said 2 weeks ago, guys, mea culpa here moment, but, you know, in fact, we'll just get right into that. Untap a keep and draw. Alrighty, so where were we last week? Well, we kind of told you guys that we were going to be a little bit hit and miss here as the summer. I'm getting married in 11 days and some hours.
And your house decided to fall apart at the same time.
Yes, but we got the plumbing fixed. The Mario Brothers came out, and you know what? I'm actually going to give the guy he gave us the sweetest deal ever. So, my plumber guy, his name's Mike, friend of the family's, and yeah, he spent about, I want to say 45, 50 hours here.
Oh, God.
And he usually charges $25 an hour. And, dude, I don't want to go into too much detail. Let me just say that he gave us a severe wedding gift.
Sweet.
He was like, the number was way lower than it should have been. I paid for parts and a few, some hours of his labor, but not half as much as it should have been. I mean, it is, because believe me, every time he opened a wall, I was like, oh my God, this is going to cost me. And I mean, dude, it's because they have these old, without getting into plumbing TV talk, they have these old PVC pipes from like 25 years ago, uh-huh, which nobody uses anymore.
Right.
And if they ever freeze, they're glass.
Yep.
It was basically like he would change a pipe. We'd get it good. He'd run some water. He's like, okay, this is good. Let me turn it up full blast. Turns it up full blast. Someplace else down the line, splinters. We have to go and find it. He tears into a wall. Oh, dude, it was the absolute worst. And he didn't have pipes on him because he's like a smaller guy.
Right.
So every time he had to get a pipe, he had to go and get a pipe. So it was like, oh, this is
lots of trip to Lowe's.
Oh, it was awful. So, hashtag not sponsored. Yeah, especially because we use Tanner's here. But he is definitely was the coolest cat. But I mean, that's where I was last week. Was like we were seeing daylight on this whole plumbing thing, and I mean, we finally got it taken care of, and the house, and there was just water downstairs. So now we're getting the house ready for the wedding, and it's just been crazy. So next week we're gonna really try to do a show, because I know I'm not doing a show the week after, because it's this whole honeymoon thing, where I'm pretty sure that if I try to do a podcast from the Tropicana in New Jersey, it's going to be the shortest marriage in history, and Britney Spears will be like, maybe I get a reprieve. So, we're going to really try to do a show next weekend, but that's where we were. It was totally on me last week, so I'm sorry, guys. But we kind of built this into the thing. I mean, we're going to start season two here right around when rotation happens. Mm-hmm. So we're still in season one, and I've kind of decided as the head showrunner that what we'll do is we will have seasons, and that, this is right now kind of like the summer season break where you get kind of little stuff. But, dude, you got like a 27-year-old kid, don't you?
Is he old? That old already? God, time flies. No.
But no, you've got a little guy, and you've got a wife who's awesome and amazing and stupendous, and not at all, she's kind of like the coolest ever, and she buys you packs and you get stuff.
Yeah,
but we all have things we have to do as men, and then once fall hits and then winter hits, forget it. They'll be like, oh, you could podcast four nights a week if you want. It's winter. What are we gonna do? Every time I go out, I gotta have like a shirt and seven sweaters. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, because we live in the Northeast, and winter starts in, August and ends in July.
Right. So, and by the way, Matt, thanks for Matt O'Sullivan's in the chat. He just gave me a congrats on our wedding. Thank you, buddy. Glad you're listening. Hope you're enjoying the show. But you had a week, right? You actually did magic.
I did magic this past weekend, the weekend before.
Wait, I have to interrupt that, though, because it must be maintained.
Oh, geez.
Tonight, again, is a Sam 76, because I liked it so much last week, so... Okay, you may continue.
Okay.
Hashtag not sponsored, okay. But please do, because if you want to send me free beer, I'm all for it. Go on.
Yeah, you would get all that, so...
Yes, I would.
So, yeah, I managed to play this past weekend in a pre-release. The week before... I went to play Magic, and that got interrupted by life stuff. I won't get into the details.
Oh, you didn't get to the Friday night?
Not the week before last. I was there for about a round and a half, and then something happened, and I had to leave. So
okay, yeah. We'll talk about it offline.
Yeah. So I got to go to the pre-release on Friday night, which is a new thing. So it was awesome. Yeah.
Well, Friday before midnight. I mean, they've always had pre-releases.
Yeah, no, but now this is like Friday regular regular FNM instead of being standard was a pre-release, which was freaking awesome. So a couple interesting things happened at the pre-release. While they were handing out the packs, they're like, yeah, so there's a misprint in the pre-release packs. Corpse Knight may or may not have accidentally been printed as a 2-3. It is actually a 2-2. Please remember that it dies to shock. And sure enough, a couple people in our group, when they opened up their packs, they got a Corpse Knight, and it was a 2-3. The regular booster packs, it's a 2-2. It's supposed to be a 2-2. So somehow they screwed up with their printing. I don't know.
So it's a ballerina. It wears 2-2s.
Yes.
I see.
And it's also a zombie. So it's a zombie ballerina.
That was the absolute lamest joke you'll ever hear. But hey, I'm going to have stepkids soon, so dad jokes are a part of it.
I'm well-versed in dad jokes. I was doing dad jokes before they were a thing. Oh, there it is.
Thank you.
Another thing they were saying, I'm kind of actually sad that this didn't happen, but they were saying some packs did not have any uncommons, which means you might have opened a pack that had four rares.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Or you could have opened a pack that had 14 commons.
Okay, that actually sounds horrible.
Yeah, so I don't think anybody opened any god packs or any dud packs, so I guess it all worked out in the end.
I'm ordering a pre-release pack offline as soon as you know, like Friday-ish. You'll
notice too that the card stock is different for the pre-release packs. It's a lot glossier. It's almost like the Ultimate Masters cards.
Well, no, they talked about that. I think that's how it's going to be going forward.
They're like, different.
They were saying Core 2020 was going to be.
They're still different.
Are they really?
Yeah, the packs that I got out of booster packs are different than the ones than they were in the pre-release packs. I think they got those from a different print run.
Well, I've noticed too when they do the, because I actually usually buy the Planeswalker deck because I'm a completist asshole. But I mean, I've been noticing with those Planeswalker decks that's something that they do.
Mm-hmm.
The Planeswalker packs have different card stock. I mean, the boosters in there are normal, but the actual Planeswalker pack deck has different card stock for just commons and uncommons. Like when I'm playing them now, I can actually feel the difference. It's kind of like.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like, is that legal? Like, what's that going to do if, sleeving?
It's fine. I mean, sleeving doesn't make a difference. And you can tell the difference. Like, when I'm thumbing through the cards that I opened, I can tell where the pre-release cards are because the ink is darker. It's more of a glossy finish, whereas the regular boosters have a little, almost more of a matte finish.
Right.
Overall, though, I'd say the card quality has improved. They did also up the quantity of foils. So you're getting, on average, one foil every three packs.
Yeah, I heard that. So, I'll get my box Friday. I'll have a box Friday.
You'll probably get somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 foils in the box.
And I may actually, you know what I've been thinking about? I may Twitch the opening. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Because, I mean, I didn't get much to Twitch this week. And, you know, so there's all that. And, I mean, so there's that. But, you know what? We also should, I should go through because we're still in Untappd. We kind of moved to Maine. But we're also going to go through, we're going to talk about pre-release pretty in-depth here, what you did, how you did, and all that. Our combat is going to be kind of interesting because BDM provided this week in some article.
It was a tweet. I can find the tweet.
Yeah, it was an interesting question in that he posited that is pre-release even a thing anymore? Like, why don't we move release up by a week and, you know, go nuts and because with spoilers and all that. So we're definitely going to go combat on that. And then main two, second main phase, we're definitely going to talk about this mastery system in Arena because everybody else is, so why the hell shouldn't we? And basically otherwise known as Wizards decided to do a, or Hasbro decided to do a money grab.
The money grab? Never. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Stop. So that's coming up. So let's get into the, you know.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. Russell, our Twitch channel is Planeswalkers Podcast. Look us up. We're awesome. And my personal one, and it's always at the end of the podcast, is Mindcrime73. Aramis's is Armec WRX.
Yeah, although, to be honest, guys, I don't really stream that much right now. I got too much non-magic stuff going on to be able to stream.
Yeah, he's got like a little, like his son is the cutest thing ever. And again, his wife is pretty much the coolest. But, you know, they want to do things together because apparently marriage, that's what you do.
Really, honestly, full disclosure, and it's not even that. I actually have some like actual life stuff going on. So if I didn't.
I know, but I was going to
dance around that for you. I'm being honest with our listeners and our viewers.
Yeah.
If that stuff wasn't going on, I'd probably be streaming a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I would say for the most part, if you want to catch any of our streams, either go into Mindcrime 73 or the main channel, Planes Talkers Podcast. And
well, I'm starting to Twitch there more, Planes Talker Pod. Like I use Restream. Yeah. So I actually changed my Twitch channel on there to the Planes Talker Pod. Because I was like, you know what, why do I want people looking at me? Who needs to look at me? I'd rather them look at the show. So.
Right. So, yeah, if you want to catch us streaming, that's where you're going to want to go.
And it's always fun because I'm losing a lot. And then you can just watch me get ridiculously pissed and annoyed.
Benson
and then
sucks
I start
at video
trying
games.
To figure out how they're, yeah, oh, dude, it's real easy to do.
So. Don't worry, Matt. We'll repeat all of that stuff at the end of the show. So
stick around to the end of the show. Do you see what I did there? I kept a listener. See, I'm smart. SMRT, Planestalker Podcast. Tell your friends. All right, moving on. But no, we. So Friday night, you went to pre-release.
Yes.
So it's the It's kind of cool what they did in that. It's never made sense to me pre-release on Friday at midnight. Like, Thursday at midnight I would get. Like, the way they do gaming stuff. They're like, Monday at midnight, come and get, you know, Final Fantasy 70. You know, I completely get that. But Friday at midnight never made sense to me. Because, you know, Friday during the day seems like when you would release stuff. You know, they've moved books to Friday. They've moved videotapes to Friday. It seems to be the day
video,
you release.
Video tapes?
DVDs,
how old are you?
Shut the hell up. I'm 97.5 years old. But, you know, they moved all that to Friday because usually that's when people have disposable income. Like, I could see if Wizards was like, we're going to do it Thursday at midnight. Mm-hmm. And basically, yes, it's college students and unemployed people and people with absolutely no life. I could never do a Thursday midnight pre-release. However, I have done Friday pre-release. You did a Thursday night?
No, God. Maybe like 20 years ago I would have done it.
Yeah, like I would have when I was in college. I mean, I did everything when I was... Let's not discuss what I did in college because we come from the generation where there's no evidence. So I did nothing in college. I was a complete choir boy. Yeah. I didn't believe in drinking or kissing girls or any of that. Excuse me while I have a beer and then I'm going to go kiss Wendy later. But, you know, besides the point, like, so I get that. I kind of dig now that they've moved the pre-release back to a reasonable hour. I think they said, what, 3 o'clock p.m. in your time zone, you can start a pre-release.
Yeah, I think it's like 3 or 4 o'clock that time zone. Kerwin's in Catskill, they started theirs at 6:30.
Right.
So it ended up being a little bit of a later night. It was great. I loved it. If I had been able to go to Saturday as well, I probably would have tried to do that.
Did they run the Commander group, or did they try to get everybody to play pre-release?
They still had Commander going on.
That's weird.
But they still had a pretty good turnout for the pre-release. I think I want to say they had like maybe 30 people there at least.
See, I would have liked to have been there. I tried. But, nice. Dude, would Saturday be in the bachelor party, and then
it's cool.
We
it's
finished
cool.
the plumbing? It was like...
No, you had a lot of stuff going on, too, so I totally understood. That's, you know, that's why I offered, like I did on Friday during the afternoon, saying, hey, if you can make it...
Yeah, dude, we drug dialed like my old college professor because I went out with a bunch of college buddies and we were drug dialing any of our college friends that were on Facebook we tried to get a hold of, including one of my ex-girlfriends who we did get a hold of. Let's not discuss that.
Awkward.
And then there was, I drunk dialed my professor. I drunk, it was ridiculously hysterical though. Oh, I mean, God. We're sitting on the rooftop. Have you been to I know you don't drink, but there's this rooftop bar in Saratoga. Uh-huh. And we ended up there, and apparently the beer was really awful. Like, they had no craft at all. Uh-huh. So I'm drinking a freaking Shock Top, which, by the way, after drinking really good beer for 3 or 4 hours, to go to something like Shock Top, you'd think your taste buds are dead. Oh, no, they weren't. It was awful.
Thanks, I hate it.
But, yeah. So we're bored, but we're laughing and having a good time. We just start calling people. But I'm just saying that to be like, you know, in college it was different. Yeah, but... Moving on, pre-release. I'm sorry, I have ADD tonight. Beer. Moving on.
Anyway, yeah.
We'll so edit this out, by the way.
Yeah, why not? It's part of the show.
It's part of the show.
Yeah, the rails don't exist because we just go off them.
Right, exactly.
So, like I said, they started at 6:30. 30 or so people, maybe 35. I don't really know exactly.
That's a good amount.
Still
only 4 rounds?
It was supposed to be 5 rounds originally. They announced for the guy that was running it kind of made a goof and announced 4 rounds, even though it is supposed to be 5. So he actually held
a 35, player, I would think so, yeah.
Well, he held a player poll towards the end of the 4th round because at that point it was almost midnight.
Right, because it's setting up and
yeah,
you're doing...
Yeah, you get the hour to build and everything else. And there were a couple of delays in between between a couple of the rounds because it's a pre-release, so it's kind of casual. So, you know, it wasn't really super structured. So there was one round where it had gone to time, 15 minutes passed, and one match didn't know that time had been called.
Oh,
so
they
shit. Were just going.
Oh, that had to go over like a...
Oh.
Like a...
Boy, oh, yes, you are. My wife just chimed in. Yes, you are awesome, babe. I love you.
You're my favorite Pamela Perez I've ever met. In fact, here we go. I'm giving her a shout out right there. Look at that. And there's your boy. It's yep. picture your old lady, which I know she's going to slap me for later. It's a picture of your wife and your boy. I love it.
Yep. She's awesome.
She is awesome. She is
actually, you know, that'll
cool.
be a nice little quick aside that I can talk to you later. Me and my son kind of sort of played our first game of Magic together over the weekend. It was really nice.
Really?
Yep. He has no idea.
Oh.
Totally over his head.
Oh, no, none.
But he wanted
but
to do
cool.
it.
Cool.
And
well,
Benson?
Yeah?
He's totally my son because guess what color he wanted to play?
Blue and white.
Blue.
Oh, that...
Yep.
Stop.
My
Listen,
kid's
I'm
going
to talk to the boy
mage.
At the wedding. The boy's coming to the wedding, right? You're bringing the boy to the wedding. The
boy's coming to the wedding, yeah.
Yeah, then I'm going to have I'll have a serious heart-to-heart with him at the wedding.
Good luck. You have to catch him first.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my. Ow. Ow, that. Just for those of you who can't see our comments at home, here you go. Let it never be said that I'm not legal. I'm assuming she's talking to you because for me, like, I'm amazing. No. You told me she would never like being called the old lady. That's what's great about it.
Yep. I warned
she
you.
She can't slap me at my wedding, right? There's a rule.
She is Italian.
Oh, damn it. She could shoot
German.
Me at my wedding. That's a great...
And
no.
French.
Well, wait. French and Italian?
And
oh,
German.
Great. So she'll either slap me or surrender. I get it.
You missed the German part.
The German part?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, there's plenty of jokes there. Not one of them
well,
are appropriate
make, it,
for
it's
anyone.
It's going to make my wedding gift to you even more better.
Your wedding gift to me even more better? Is it cash? Because I'm a big fan of cash.
I'm not telling you what it is.
All right.
You'll know exactly what it is when you see it.
You can call it cash, presidential flashcards, whatever you got to, you know, however you got to do it. No, I'm just kidding.
So anyway,
and for you listeners out there, if you have a request, write it on a $100 bill and send it to us here, and we'll make sure we talk about it.
Multiple requests, non-consecutive, unmarked requests, please. No ink packs either.
Oh yeah, no ink blocks. Again, that ended horribly last time.
Getting back to the pre-release because that's
pre-release. Yes. Well, your wife coming in,
she's
such an amazing presence that it did. She required attention, and,
yes.
and I'm all for it.
Yes.
You know what? She lets you do this every Monday or every Monday, and then I don't do it, but she lets you do it every Monday.
Yeah. So anyway.
Anyway, back to pre-release.
Back to the pre-release because I'm sure that's why you guys are all here. Oh boy. So long story short, I won.
You won the whole night?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yep, 4-0. I only lost two games all night, and one.
Did anybody else go 4-0?
One other person, but I had better tiebreakers.
Did you really? So you got first place. So you got all. How many packs you got?
8 packs.
No kidding.
It would have been 10 if they'd gone 5 rounds, but people were like, "Nah, we're tired."
Dude, midnight's tough.
Yeah.
Midnight.
It was also kind of hot and humid that day, so I totally get it.
Oh, was there no air in there?
There was air, but just it was, you know, it was swamp.
Sticky.
Outside. Yeah.
It
was very gross. But,
and I mean, and some of those people. Ooh.
Yeah, I lost two games all night. One of them, the first game I lost, I mean, the board was stable and then overcome. What are you going to do?
I've been there.
I lost to the spell that says I win the game, so that's fine. The other game that I lost, I had a mulligan down to 5. By the way, the London mulligan was in effect.
The London mulligan's great.
Love it.
Love it too.
And he had such a great start. He had like a million flyers, and I was like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Flyers are a big deal. I've been noticing that in Arena.
There are a ton of flyers in Core 2020. You have to be able to deal with them or you will lose.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, it's a heavy evasion set. It's a heavy angel set.
Yeah, there's a few angels, but elementals is a huge thing. A lot of them fly. There's, you know, a ton of fairies, griffins, stuff like that.
Stop it. Jeepers.
So, I played green-white, and I splashed a little bit of blue, mostly for flyers.
Right.
And, like, one of the cards that did a lot of work for me was Hanged Executioner. I mean, just...
I've heard talk about that card.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 1/1 for 3. It's a flyer. When it comes into play, it makes another flying spirit token, a 1/1. You could pay 3 and a white to exile it to exile another creature. So
nice.
you kill it and it takes something awesome with it. So you just basically sit back and, like, whenever you feel like you want to pop it, or if you have 7 mana, you just kill their best creature. That was really, you know, I was able to basically sort of stay low to the ground, low mana curve. Howling Giant did a lot of work for me. Somebody actually forgot that it had reach, which it makes sense because giants don't normally have reach, even though they probably should because they're huge.
Right.
But it's a 5/5 for 7 mana. It comes into play with two wolf tokens, and it's a 5/5. So
that's beautiful.
It's awesome. So that did a lot of work for me. You saw some crazy stuff. One person I was playing had 2 Gargos in their deck, and an Ajani. So that was rough to deal with, but I was able to do that. So I got a couple of lucky draws. I was able to play. I got Lotus Field as my promo, which I was super happy about, and I was actually able to play it a couple of times. I played that sucker in my deck.
I would too, though. I mean, why not?
Well, it's not. It's technically not ramp. You have to know. You have to use it correctly. So basically, what I would do is I would tap a couple. I would float a couple of mana to play either a 2 or a 3 drop, depending on when I was playing the Lotus Field. That way, the lands that I sacrificed, I'd already used.
Right. So, and that gives you 5, basically.
The Veil comes in tapped, but you get
oh, it does, that's right.
Yeah, so you get whatever mana you had for the turn already before you would have played a land. So I would
unless you have a Blood Moon, and then...
Oh, Blood Sun, yeah. I actually had the combo.
Did you?
I opened the Lotus Veil, the Lotus Field and the Tail's End, so if I really wanted to get cute, I could have countered the activated the triggered ability when it came into play, but that wouldn't have been worth it.
No, it's really weird because, I mean, with everything going on in my life as far as getting married soon and stuff, I mean, I feel so, to be honest, folks, and I mean, I'm hosting a Magic podcast and I understand the level of this. I feel so freaking detached right now.
No, I understand.
It's like I barely looked at spoilers. I do play Arena, but I mean, I'm still playing Red Deck Wins a lot because I'm still trying to ramp back up into Plat because it knocked me down because I went to Plat 4. On one day, and I should have been. Oh God, I was a Plat 1, and I just went on a bad run.
Yeah.
But it pushed me back to gold, and it's like, oh, I really don't want to stay in gold. So, I'm trying real hard to get that, to get that done. So I'm still RDWing, and I mean, I threw in some Chandra's, and I threw in Chandra's artifact. I was like, at first, I'm like, I didn't understand necessarily the kicker to it, but then I'm like, oh my God, this is card fixing for days.
Yeah, it
like
is.
In RDW, it's like.
I mean,
so
works,
let me get this straight.
It
if
works
I'm mana,
obviously you have to have the Chandra Planeswalkers for it to work best. But the earliest list that I'm seeing for Red Deck Wins,
they're playing
really
the rare.
Added anything to from Core 20 except for Fries in the sideboard.
They're adding the rare. Rare Chandra sees some play.
Or, yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah,
and the Chandra, the artifact, the cool thing about it is, especially if you're playing, I got that out with Experimental Frenzy. So I was able to kind of, like, use the cards in my hand to trigger that.
Yeah,
like, it's like...
To sort of, move away, like, a useless land on top of your deck?
Well, Experimental Frenzy, you're putting cards into your hand at draw that you can't use.
Right.
So, I mean, I would pay my 1, kick it, and then, draw, like, so if I had a land on top, is what I guess I'm saying, is that it would kind of keep my Experimental Frenzy going, because I'd, oh, shit, second land. All right, pay 1, kick it.
Well, yeah.
Sacrifice
don't say
a
kick
land.
It, you're going to confuse poor Matt, he hasn't played in 20 years.
But, I'm sorry, tap it, pay the 1, tap it, have it, discard a land that's already in my hand for Experimental Frenzy, from something previous, put the land in my hand, and now I'm going to the card underneath it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, and now occasionally you get that third land in a row or whatever, you're like, oh, what the hell? But for the most part, it's like, oh, look, a shock. I'll hit you with that.
Yeah, but so, Mono Red really hasn't changed too much with the newest edition of Core. But it's already such a good streamlined deck. It's a solid choice going into this weekend.
It really is. Is there any big event this weekend?
There is SCG Worcester.
And are they doing standard or
standard.
Are they doing modern?
Is it's standard, like, yeah. It's going to be the first weekend.
That's what I love about SCG. Over CFB and Magic, overall is that Star City Games is they every time the release comes out, they're like, we're going to do a standard tournament, or we're going to do draft in Standard or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Find some way to work it in. You know, and Magic just doesn't do that anymore. Well, or they're not televising their Grand Prix. That's probably the big thing.
That's like our Nexus of Fate horse. That's another horse that we've beaten to death many times.
And I don't think anything's going to change on it. So, I mean, Mythic Championship 3 was pretty good. I got to tell you. I enjoyed watching that. Have we talked about MC3? Off the air?
I think we were off the air for that, but I don't think we got a chance to really talk about it. But I honestly missed it.
Did you? It wasn't as good. The production value was almost as good as when they did the first one.
Because that was the one in Arena, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I caught like a little bit of part of it, but I was so busy. And like I said, I've had so much stuff going on. I like you, I feel a little detached.
So, I mean, but it's still worthwhile. I mean, MC4 will be, I think MC4 is modern. So
yes, that's in Barcelona, and they, you know, coincidentally, they just banned Bridge from Below. So,
which is like, okay, that's, you know, shut down. I guess I don't understand like how they'll ban Bridge from Below, but yet they didn't ban, you know, like the stuff that made Is It Phoenix work when Is It Phoenix was like everywhere.
Well, did you read the article at all?
A little.
Basically, what they're saying is that they want graveyard synergies to be a thing. They want people to be able to use their graveyard as a resource. They don't.
Which is so fucking stupid.
It's modern. It's modern. But they don't want. They don't want something like Bridge from Below, where it's basically you have to main deck so much graveyard hate in order to fight it, and even then it might not even work. Because Hogak Bridgevine, which is the deck in modern that we're talking about, real quick, it had such good win rates in game one that it didn't really matter because it could just kill you in turn one, turn two. And it was disgusting. And I'm surprised they only banned Bridge. I was thinking they were going to ban like Faithless Looting or Ancient Stirrings. But they think that bringing Bridgevine down will help other decks come back up and maybe overall help the health of the format. I mean, we'll see.
I think Is It Phoenix could see a resurgence with some of the stuff that came out in 20.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so for sure. I mean, Is It Phoenix is going to come back up. And it's still a really good deck. It still has Faithless Looting. So
I love Faithless Looting.
Yeah, so, you know, but getting off modern, because we don't really talk about modern too much.
Yes, we're the Standard Podcast, even though we're speaking German. Schnell, Gotten Himmel, Hogan. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
But yeah, no, so you went 4-0, you got 8 packs, you got... anything else from the pre-release? Any other big things that you saw, or... did they have coverage? Were they covering it? Like, no. I know we tried to do coverage that one weekend.
No, they were not covering this. I think partially because it was later at night. I would say my overall impression, Core Set 2020 is a good sealed set. They did a great job with this. There are some really good cards in this set for Constructed, especially for Standard.
I agree.
And you've already seen it. There's some of the decks that are out there now. Which we'll touch on that a little bit later on in the show. There are new archetypes, and other archetypes got big shots in the arm, like Nexus.
Yeah, Nexus is kind of coming back. I'm even seeing Bant show up because of the Leyline of Sanctity. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of amazed because I expected Leylines to have a bigger splash.
They might be reprints for Modern.
Huh?
I think they're reprints for Modern.
Yeah, because it really was... I mean, I'm looking at it, and it didn't need to be, though, because it's... Oh, unless they're going to change Modern to be like 20 years, you know, the last 15 years, but...
No, I don't think it's that. I think what it is that they did it with the last core set. They reprinted Scapeshift, they reprinted Crucible of Worlds to make, you know, to have a couple of Modern staples reprinted so they're more easily accessible. I think they're doing the same thing with the Ley Lines, because, you know, Ley Line of Sanctity is a good card, but it shouldn't be $45.
Right, and I mean, it's definitely worthwhile, and did you get any, by the way, when you opened?
I got one Leyline of Sanctity, two Leylines of the Void, and I think two...
And really, who cares about the others?
Well, the blue Leyline might see some play. The green one, some people are trying to abuse that one. The red one's the worst one. But I think all the Leylines, except for maybe the red one, at least have some play value.
Right, the red one's kind of okay.
Red one's kind of bad.
Well, because it casts it, it could be used in... That's what I mean. That's one of those cards I could see in Is It Phoenix because you're casting it. Granted, you still have to pay the mana cost, which is kind of weird. Oh, no way. I'm thinking of the Chandra.
No, yeah. Red ley line is whenever you or a permanent you control is the target of a spell or ability that an opponent controls, the ley line deals 2 damage to them.
That's right. Thanks. I was getting confused.
Ley line of combustion, I believe, what it is.
Yes. I definitely, you know, but I mean, I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, it's not the ley lines we were so excited for. And I mean, don't get me wrong, to be able to get my fourth one for my Boggle deck is huge, because I still love Boggle. I mean, it doesn't win, but it's fun to play because it's a piss-me-off deck, and I just kind of enjoy piss-me-off decks. But, you know, looking at Standard, yeah, RDW's still big. There's a blue resurgence. There's
Mono
been
blue
a...
Blue aggro is coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back huge with a vengeance. You're right. Bant Nexus is kind of coming around again and sniffing around.
Mostly Simic still.
Yeah, I've seen some Bant, though, in playing Arena.
I haven't seen the Bant list, but I know for sure that Simic is.
Yeah. You know, Esper is still out there, and they are perfecting it, and it's getting better.
Yep.
Give you that.
There's plenty of new stuff out there too. There's a couple of brand new decks that
the blue white flyers I'm seeing is I'm seeing a lot of them in best of one. Huh?
That's not even the one I'm talking about.
Which one are you talking about?
Scapeshift Gates.
Okay, this I have to see. Hold on here.
So it's a deck that's built around Scapeshift and the new land from Core 20 called Field of the Dead.
Oh.
And what Field of the Dead does, I happen to have two here. It comes into play tapped. It taps for a colorless. It's a rare land. Whenever Field of the Dead or another land enters the battlefield under your control, if you control 7 or more lands with different names, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token.
Yes, I know that one.
So the way the rules work... Say you've got 7 random lands in play. Doesn't matter what they are. They could be all 7 islands, 7 forests, whatever. You play, or even we'll say 8 lands. You play Scapeshift. Sacrifice all your lands.
Right.
You get 2 Field of the Dead and 6 other lands with different names. They all come into play at the same time. The field sees them as 7 lands with different names. So you get triggers for every single one of them. So you get like 16 or 32 zombie tokens.
Wow, yeah, Scapeshift went up. It's $15 now.
Yeah, so that's basically what the combo is. And it uses the new artifact, Golos, I think his name is, to help you search out lands. And basically, it's the Gates deck. So you're using Securitas Root, Growth Spiral, you know, the Archway Angel. You're playing a bunch of Gates, a couple of Shock Lands, all that stuff.
They're not... So, oh, wow, they don't play the Ram, though. That's
nope, don't need to, because you've got a million zombie tokens.
That's true.
And so you Gates Ablaze for like a billion, then you Scapeshift, make a bunch of creatures, and kill them. It's crazy. It's a crazy deck. The other deck that I saw, it abused Flood of Tears, which is a rare from Core 20, and Omniscience. So this is for all the casual players out there, Omniscience is potentially seeing play in a competitive deck. So... The way that it basically works is you amass a bunch of permanents on your side, like Utopia Sprawl, Gift of Paradise, Leafkin Druids, a couple of, you know, random mana dorks, until you get to 4 non-land permanents or more. Hopefully one of them is Tameo.
Yeah, Tameo would be good that.
You cast Flood of Tears. What Flood of Tears does, it returns all non-land permanents to their owner's hand. If you returned 4 non-land permanents to your hand, you get to put a permanent card from your hand into play. The card you put into play is Omniscience, which means you don't have to pay mana cost for your spells.
Right.
So it makes you play a 10 mana enchantment for free, and then all your spells are free. So then you play Tameo and everything else. You minus Tameo to recur the Flood of Tears. Hopefully one of those cards that you're getting is some sort of a card draw spell or a Risen Reef. You keep
Risen Reef is ridiculous.
Yeah, you keep looping through that because you're casting everything for free. You're always putting the Omniscience back into play, then casting everything else for free. So you have infinite Tameo activations, infinite bounce, infinite card draw. You get to Jace.
Cutting Castaway?
No, the Jace from War of the Spark.
Oh, the one that mills?
Yeah. And you cast Overwhelming Insight on yourself to deck yourself and win the game.
There you go.
It's sick. It doesn't when I was playing it, I was testing it on Arena a little bit. I lost like 99% of my games, but the couple times I got it to work, it's absolutely unstoppable.
And when you get it to work, it does feel good. It's like when you played the what's the hell's the name of that vampire that I like to play every once in a while just to plink you down to 20 without you stopping me.
The paladin.
Yeah, famished paladin. Yeah. Combo with the magician's wand.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know what? The minute you throw a magician's wand out, you throw the famished paladin, there isn't anybody who's played for longer than 10 minutes that doesn't go, oh, I got to kill that thing now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, when you get it to go off, you're just kind of like...
Yeah, this one, especially if you do it when your opponent's tapped out, you're doing all of this for zero mana. And there's nothing they can do.
It feels so modern-y.
It feels very legacy.
Yeah, so you had a good time. Corset 2020, how many boluses do you give it out of 10?
How many boluses do I give it?
Sure.
Out of 10. Well, it's a corset, so that kind of brings it down a little bit because it's obviously a step back in power from War of the Spark, which is to be expected.
Yeah.
I'd give it maybe like a 7.5 out of 10. It's solid. There's some good stuff in there. There's nothing. There's nothing super broken. Although, I mean, you know, it's early yet, so it remains to be seen. There's some crazy stuff out there.
Nexus of Fate was a core card.
Nexus of Fate was a Biobox promo on a core set.
Yeah.
So it's a little,
still was a core card though.
It's a little different, but yeah, it was essentially a core card. But I think there's nothing on that level.
Right.
There's nothing on that level, but there are cards that scream break me. People are already comparing Risen Reef to the, I just had it in my head. The Rogue Refiner. They're comparing it to that already.
Yeah, well, because it's ridiculous.
It draws you a card or it puts a land into play. It's stupid. And if you have multiple, yeah, have fun.
For those of you that don't know, Risen Reef, it's a one colorless, a blue and a green. It's a creature elemental. Whenever Risen Reef or another elemental enters the battlefield under your control, look at the top card of your library. If it's a land card, you may put it onto the battlefield tapped. If you don't put the card onto the battlefield, put it into your hand. So it's basically just consistent, constant card draw.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. That gets around Narset.
Big time.
And if you have two in play, they each trigger twice.
Right. Or if you have the Chandra, if you're playing Temur, which every Temur elemental is becoming a thing.
Yeah. Risen Reef plus the uncommon. It's the uncommon or rare, Sean? The one that makes two elementals is rare, right?
It's rare.
Yeah, so yeah, two of those Risen Reefs plus Chandra, you activate her, make elementals. Yeah, I'm gonna put the top four cards into my hand or put four lands into play. Shrug.
I've never been so happy that Anointed Procession is no longer a thing.
Oh my god. Could you imagine?
Oh, I could imagine, and believe me, when I was playing your little horsey deck, I imagined it quite a bit.
Well, funny you should mention that, because around the time of rotation, Historic will become a new format to Magic Arena.
I heard about that.
So if they ever decide to print the Amonkhet block in that format...
Oh, won't we have fun with that?
Your little Christmas land happiness will be true.
Dude, I loved playing the Crested Sunmare decks. Mm-hmm. I really did, because they were hysterically great fun. They're just like... Especially with the white life gain deck, like the mono white. Like, when I remember, I was the one who put together, I was like, wait, Oath to Ajani... with Ajani's Pride Mate and then Crested Sunmare. Huh.
Yeah.
This seems like this would go well together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Regal Caracals, the Sacred Cats.
The Anointed stuff. Processions. Yeah. The Anointed Procession was the key. It's like, oh.
Yep. And then but then we found the Magic of God Pharaoh's Gift.
Yes, that was a beautiful thing.
Core 2020, good set. Buy it.
Buy two.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I like it a lot. Looking forward to the next set, but this set is very, very, very good.
Yes. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get right into...
Combat Phase.
Alrighty, Combat Phase tonight. Okay, so basically, you know, we spent about the last half hour here talking about pre-release, and, you know, it was at 6 o'clock. It came after about 3.5 weeks worth of spoilers to where the week before pre-release, everything was known. BDM, we kind of teased it earlier in the show. Brian David Marshall, for those of you who don't know, he tweeted out a tweet that basically was positing the idea that maybe pre-release is not something we need to do anymore. Yep. That with the spoiler season and then... that pre-release is not really, and it's not helping the local game shops. I think because BDM's always been big on that.
Yeah, let me. I have the tweet pulled up.
Okay, good, even better because I'm totally just vamping.
Yeah, so I'm quoting here. So okay. It's kind of a long tweet, but I'm quoting. Super hot take: the MTG pre-release as it stands should just go away, kill it.
Ooh,
it is just not special anymore.
Sorry.
It's all right. One of the players at my event had already done 20 drafts on MTGO. That's Magic Online for those for the uninitiated. The cards were pretty well known by everyone, and there were no eye-popping moments. With the online releases, full spoilers a week out, and early access events, the pre-release brand just feels diminished to me. Just make the weekend into an actual release tournament. Let me hop into a draft queue when I am done playing Sealed. Let me buy some of the singles I am excited to add to my Commander decks. You can make Friday and Saturday the Sealed queues, with foil promos for release day, with drafts on demand. Then Sunday could be first look constructed events. Just let the people max out on their excitement for the new cards. I always feel like there are players who don't come to the pre-release and don't come back next weekend for another event. More chances to play this weekend means more chances for them to let the fish hook sink in. You could still preserve the pre-release brand of events, but actually make them special. Like an event at a GP or SCG on Sunday with a scarce amount of slots that you need to qualify for on Friday/Saturday. Ooh. Could stream the whole event for an exciting first look at the cards. I had fun today, but that specialness of the event just wasn't there in the same way for me. Just open the fire hose and let me get as much full blast magic as I need over the weekend. Your thoughts, sir?
Oh, first of all, I mean, it's BDM. He automatically gets, 75,000 points.
Yeah.
But he's not wrong. I'm old school. Like, I'm from Rochester, New York. I participated in Rochester drafts back in the day. I pre-releases on Midnight and all that's always been a kind of a thing. But yet now, but you were right. You'd sit down and you wouldn't necessarily know. A few of the cards might get out there and, guys in the local shop, who might have gotten some of their boxes early or whatever, they're like, oh, well, there's a few cards here. This is going to be interesting. And they would spend, 15 minutes before you'd play going over, these are some of the cards that you might see, be advised, this here or this interaction, blah, blah, blah. Now we all know. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. There's no real reason for it, I guess, other than history.
Yeah, and getting your hands on the cards first.
Right. But I mean, here's the thing. He's right in that you could still get your hands on the cards first by being the first in line on the Friday. Arena put the set out on a Monday.
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, it was Monday or Tuesday, and you could play it till Friday.
I do think part of that was because of the July 4th holiday, but continue.
Yeah, well, it was just... No, because they did it before with War of the Spark. It came out on a Tuesday.
All right.
So, it definitely... I think that's their mindset, is that you can kind of practice for paper. Well, no, their mindset is, hey, spend money. But
obviously, but yeah.
Their mindset being that, you can practice for paper for the pre-release event. It's kind of messed up. There have been times where, when I first got back into this, like I went to, not Kaladesh pre-release, but Aether Revolt. Mm-hmm. So I went to Aether Revolt's pre-release, and I got my pre-release pack. And then I was like, I didn't realize that it was actually pre-release weekend. I just kind of thought it was, because it was my first time back. And before you just got packs, it wasn't like a pre-release kit.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, this must be like the old Friday night Magic, combat kits. I sat there and I was like, I went to Walmart. I'm like, why don't they have Aether Revolt here? Because my store was closed on a Monday. I was like, I want some more of these cards, because I opened a Paradox Engine and all sorts of crazy shit. Mm-hmm. Being able to release it at once, not doing a pre-release, also kind of opens it up for those people who don't have an LGS. Hey, you can get your cards on some packs, or get your hands on some packs by going to the local big box or ordering from you can order from TCG Player, but it won't show up for another week and a half. Yeah, I get it. And it does. It's kind of like, it's silly, I guess, especially now that we're not doing midnights. Like, there's absolutely no reason to just not open the floodgates at 3:00 on a Friday. Your thoughts, sir? Argue with me, because this is a combat. See, I took the position you wanted to have. This is a debate team, motherfucker. Well,
we're in agreement again. The streak of the last few combats is more of an alliance than anything else. I think he hit the nail on the head. Now, me personally, I love spoiler season. I love being able to see the card saying, holy crap, what does this card do? This is awesome. This is great. I can't wait to play it. But at the same time, having the whole set out a week in advance, especially available online to play, I'm not sure I agree with that so much either. It's I'm conflicted because part of me wants to get the information. Part of me wants to be able to say, okay, what what cards are going to go into my Esper deck that I can update? You know, are there going to be new archetypes coming out? Even though I'm not even that much of a deck builder, I want to see the cards and I can sort of like put a little flag next to this card and like I think someone's going to try to do break this thing in half. It looks like it's got potential. But I remember my first pre-release was Invasion back in 2000. Going to Syracuse, getting lost, getting there, but whatever. Hey, it's not too late, Matt.
It's not too late, buddy. Arena. Come back to
Arena
us. For those of you listening to the audio podcast, Matt O'Sullivan just said, sometimes I wish I still played. Dude, get on Arena. We'll get you a code.
Download Arena. It's free. But anyway, I had no idea what I was doing there. I signed up, got my DCI number. You got your starter deck and your 2 or 3 booster packs of Invasion.
Yep.
And you got your promo card, which everybody got the same promo card, which I think that's something that they should do. Instead of just a random rare mythic from the set, I think it should be the one promo card. And it was so cool because it was Raging Kavu, and it was in Latin. And I loved that. It was in a different language, a dead language. And just, you're opening up the cards, you're like, wow, I didn't see this card before. What does it do? Okay, do I have the colors for this? What does this card do? But now it's like, oh, okay, there's this mythic, there's this rare, there's this color.
This is what I have to put together. Yeah, it does kind of take away a little bit of that excitement factor.
It takes away the wow factor. And the discovery, yeah. For sure.
And I do. I kind of miss it. I mean, but I don't think we're ever going to get rid of spoiler season. Because not only that, I mean, understand this. Like, we're content creators, you and I. Mm-hmm. Like, we create a podcast, and we like to have content. And we take, their releases and their press releases, and we build content off of that. And we're not the only ones, and we're not monetizing this podcast by any means yet. But, there are people out there, MTG Goldfish and, some of the other guys, Brian Cast and all of that, they do monetize. Like, this is a way people make money. So by not having a spoiler season, you are actually kind of shooting the content creators in the mm-hmm. foot.
Well, however, and also, too, a quick aside.
Yeah.
Spoiler season used to actually be spoilers, as in somebody was leaking the information. Nowadays, Wizards is the one saying, you want a promo card, or a preview card? Here you go. You get this card. Here you go. You get this card. We like you. Here's two cards.
Well, now they've started handing it out to content creators.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. Yeah. They're the ones actually behind the quote-unquote spoilers. All they're doing is saying, they're just giving you sneak peeks, but it's not really a spoiler because it's the internet and it's everywhere, and you're only spoiled if you live in a rock.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, I think I'd like to see them do away, and it's hard to say because I'm old school. I am. I'm 100% old school. Like, I'm still about paper, and, and I understand that with Arena, that Arena's the new hotness, but I mean, we'll discuss a little bit of that, too, because Arena might shoot themselves in the foot before long. But, I mean, it just, I would hate to see, on one hand, I hate to see pre-release go because I love doing pre-release.
It's my favorite event. Yeah,
but it's also like I would love to do just release weekend and make it a bigger event. Like a release weekend now, they're like, we're releasing the event, but we're releasing the cards. And Friday Night Magic, they may do draft at Kerwin's as opposed to constructed, but it's still it's not the same. If you do make the release event, like a real release event, that would be more than okay. And that also allows you to open up the floodgates to the big box stores and the other areas for people who can't get to an LGS. And it only spells money for Wizards. I'm sure that within 5 years this is going to happen, especially because BDM, he's somebody who people listen to. Like, he is 100% somebody who people will sit and listen to and go, he may have a point,
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's, but like I said, I'm conflicted. I understand his point. I agree with his point, but at the same time, it's I don't know. It's tough because Wizards obviously has to make money, and to make money, they have to generate hype, and to generate hype, they have to spoil the cards. Right. Maybe if they didn't spoil all the mythics until the day after the pre-release, maybe keep like 5 of the mythics hidden, or something, you know, like some portion of the rares and mythics hidden, so that way people have to discover them and then tweet about them and say, "Holy crap, what the hell is this card doing?" You know, so like if we didn't know about, I don't know, if we didn't know about Oketra until after the pre-release, you know, from a limited standpoint, or we didn't know about the new Teferi until after the pre-release, could you imagine the extra hype that would have been like, holy shit, I have to buy 27 boxes of this set. I want 4, 5, 10 of these. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that would be kind of cool. And maybe doing that, like not spoiling the mythics. I don't know how you don't, because at the end of the day, then it'll go back to what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go back to you know, a Wizards of the Coast employee going, hey, I took a picture in my office.
Well, I mean, and sometimes too, Wizards shoots themselves in the foot like they did with Dominaria. They released the release notes in Chinese like 2 weeks before preview started, so we knew like 2/3 of the set.
I remember that. That was hysterically funny.
That was a whoops.
I mean, again, this combat is almost no combat because, again, it's... I agree with BDM. I think that moving away from pre-release... I mean, you're kind of talking, like, I'm saying just pre-release event. I mean, because of spoilers. I don't think they're ever going to stop spoilers. I think that genie's out of the bottle, the toothpaste out of the tube, the Pope is out of the Vatican. There's no way around it, okay? This is where we're at. You know, we can never go back to not having spoilers. I don't think they'll ever limit it because they're a hype machine.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any surprise that when did Hasbro take over Wizards of the Coast? Was it the early 2000s?
It was like 10, 20 years ago.
Oh, God, yeah, it was before 2000.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just, yeah, it makes sense from that standpoint. They're never going to put it back in the bottle.
No, I could see
them changing up how they do pre-release to make it more of a, you know, of an, I don't want to say inclusive because it's such a freaking buzzword today. But, I mean, if you didn't have a pre-release event and you just had a release event, mm-hmm. Like, okay, you know, that would still give you what you need and let you get rid of the cards going early.
Yeah, and also, too, one of the points that some of the commenters on the thread were making were that for some people, pre-release is the only sanctioned event they go to.
Yeah.
You know, this is the one tournament, quote-unquote tournament, because it's super casual, that they even go to because they just don't like the competitive scene, and you don't want to alienate them either.
No, you don't. Oh, I'm starting Arena on my laptop down below.
Sounds like fun.
But so that's the end of that combat. I'm going to say that we all won because we did it. So let's go into
main phase.
And I mean, we're getting down to the wire here. Believe it or not, we're at 52 minutes. I do want to talk a little bit about the mastery tree / XP cap in Arena.
Okay.
Because that thing, it's not so much the tree itself. The tree itself is great and fun and wonderful. But they did something this year, or this around, which they called it the Mastery Pass.
Yes.
And basically, it should be subtitled, the holy crap, we are Hasbro, G.I. Joe doesn't make us any money, so we need to find a way to bilk you for everything we can. We love you, Hasbro. I mean, it just... It's basically you the mastery tree now, they've changed how, first of all, they changed how quests work.
Yes.
Before, where you could, you know, you basically had, you had to win 15 matches in a week, and you get one quest a day for a maximum of 3 that, you know, so for the most part, you could do, I think it turned out to like 12 a week of these quests, as well as winning 15 matches. You had a week to win 15 matches to get 3 rewards.
Booster packs. Yeah.
Yeah. To basically get rewards, booster packs, coins, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, they decided to do away with those, and they moved to something called, well, first of all, it was the Mastery Tree. And then, which you can do it for free, and it's, but it's really slow going. You have, what is it, one a day or something?
Well, it's the quests are always generated one a day, but you can save up to three at a time. So right. If you don't get to one day, it stays in your queue, and then once you hit three, you don't get any more.
Right.
You need 1,000 experience points per level, and the quests, the daily quests, I believe, will award 800, and the daily wins, the first three award, I think, 150 and 50 XP, so you can get 1,000, right. You can get a level a day.
But the Mastery Pass lets you, like, double that. XP. There is, that's what we'll talk about. Yeah. The Mastery Pass lets you, I think, double that.
It lets you skip a bunch of levels.
Yeah,
it skips. I actually got it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah,
because I'm an idiot.
Well, I wanted and the cat.
I like the kitty. Yeah, but I mean, so basically, for $20 or $59, and $59 is a money grab. Don't do it. But for $20, you basically get to, like, get more XP in a day and all of that. The problem I have is that it does. The games themselves don't roll over. Mm-hmm. So the XP you could get from winning events or winning cards, when before it was 15 in a week, you have three a day. And tomorrow, I have three tomorrow.
Well, no, if you go through the three in that day, you've got one the next day.
No, you're talking quests. I'm talking wins.
Oh, wins. Yeah, you get the first three wins actually matter. The rest of them really don't.
Yeah, the first three wins matter and generate XP and all of that. After that, they don't count. However, if I don't play today or I don't win, which is also another thorn in my craw, by the way, if you're going to do this, you should have some way to reward, because, I mean, some people have full-blown meta that they're playing in either ranked or what kills me is they're playing it in the freaking casual queue. Okay, like they're walking in with RDW in the casual. It's like, yeah. No, you know what? I'm coming here to jank my jankiest, and you're coming in here with red deck wins? Afangu, you know? I mean, get the hell out of here. So the thing I got with this, though, is that I am not a daily player. I can't be. I'm a 45-year-old man. I'm going to have three kids here in 12 days. I'm going to have a new wife. Like I can't log in every day. However, if I don't log in every day, I don't get that XP. I don't get those three wins. I don't get those rewards, but I paid $20. Mm-hmm. Like, it really sucks.
Yeah.
It's nothing more than a money grab. They're basically trying to out EA.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that the whole premise when they started this game is that they said, we want to make sure the people who only play once or twice a week get rewarded and have a value for playing the game. This removes that. This now basically says, if you want maximum value out of this game, guess what? You got to grind like anybody else.
Yep, it fully removes that. And what I, pardon my language, guys, I'm just going to say it, what I fucking hate about this right now. Thank you, Sam. What I really hate is that, like, they'll sit there and then they try to Jedi mind trick and be like, we don't have a cap on XP in the dailies. There's no cap. It's like, so let me get this straight. I can keep going all day? Like, say it's a Saturday and I'm home sick from work? No. You still only get 300 in a day. Well, that's a cap. Like, no, you're full of. And people did the math. Like, they sat there and there's 82 days, and I think you can get up to 1,000 in a day.
Yeah, 1,000 in a day. Well, okay, maximum, but you need 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000 in a day, and that's your maximum. And there's 82 days to do this before the next set comes out. But to max it out, to get the full mastery tree, you need 100,000. Wait, something's not right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when they're like, well, we're going to have events. Even though when they originally put this out, they said, we're not going to really have events. You're just going to have the grinding and blah, 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 blah. It's like, wait, what the frack are you doing? You don't know what you're doing.
But you can pay 250 gems and boost to the next level.
Yeah, it's, well, yeah. And then they put that stupid Fakakta letter out where they're like, we're going to actually remove that in, like, the next month's update because, you know, blah, 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 and people are misinterpreting what we were intending.
I think the funniest thing about all that is that they tried to pull the wool over their eyes off a community that does math for a living.
I know. It's mind. They
because
are
you have to be able to do lots of math in this game.
They're bound and determined to shoot themselves in the foot with this. They had such an opportunity with Arena to really take this game to the next level, to bring this out of the geek lit people who talk like this for a living and they like to go play Magic on Fridays and I've never kissed a girl in my life. Like, those type of people. You can remove this from them, and by bringing Arena, and you're also going to entice back the people that only have played this. Like, a lot of people have played this for two or three sets and then they're like, well, I've got a girlfriend, so I'm going to go over there now. You know, this lets them come back. Like, you have a real opportunity here to really make a paradigm shift, and you are constantly finding ways to screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it boggles my mind, because this could be so much better than they think it is.
Yeah. No, you know? I completely agree with you. I think a lot of it's Hasbro.
It's all Hasbro. Are you kidding me?
Hasbro, yeah. There was an article that was mentioned, something about their quarterly statements, I think. They mentioned Magic like a dozen times, and some of their other properties they mentioned like once or twice. So they're all in on maximizing Magic. The full launch of Arena is supposed to be coming this fall.
It'll come with rotation.
So there's going to be a full launch. We're going out of beta.
Yeah.
And there's, you know,
I know they said they're not gonna, but tell me they're gonna freaking reset everybody.
I don't know if they're gonna reset, but I know they're talking about mobile again.
Yeah. So, are they? Well, yeah. Everybody had a reaction when they said they're not gonna do mobile, and then they brought that stupid game out, and everybody's like,
really,
well,
hasn't
if you're gonna
done
do
anything.
Huh?
Is it out, even really a thing? I haven't even
it's
seen
it. It's not even a thing. You wanna know what it is? It's Magic Portal. Like, think about it. Remember Magic Portal? They put it on the back of promo cards for a while. Like, yeah. Hey, you're going to be able to download this app to your app, and you'll be able to look at your... Yeah, no. That never happened.
Oopsie. No, they're talking about Arena on mobile.
Yeah, they need to talk about Arena on mobile. Yeah, so... I think Arena needs to happen on mobile. Because, again, all right, it's the only reason to have BO1.
Yeah.
Because I want to play BO1 when I'm making a BM. Okay, like that's
that
what you need.
Tell you not to say it.
Hey, I said BM this time. It's not like
I
said poop.
I know, but that's what I was going to do.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But it's you do. You want to be able to play Magic on the crapper. I did it with duels of the Planeswalker. Yeah. I mean, it was great.
No, they need to. They need to. I will back Hasbro on this point and this point only. They do need to maximize exposure to Magic, because that will keep the game going. They do need
I agree.
To do it. They aren't doing it the right way, because they are alienating their casual base. The people who would listen to this podcast, ironically enough.
Right,
because
we're a podcast by casuals for casual.
Ooh, hashtag tagline?
Yeah, hashtag tagline.
Oh, I like that. Anyway.
Hashtag Sam Adams.
They need to remember that they made this game, Arena, for the people who can't play in MCQs, for the people who can't grind GPs, for the people who, you know, can't even make Friday Night Magic most times.
Well, and it's like I said, I think the only reason I bring this up is they brought it up in an article that I read somewhere, which is basically that it wasn't just them. It's because they did some sort of like test, and they're like, okay, the average person, so many millions of people have tried or played Magic. Mm-hmm. They come and they stay for two or three sets, full sets, like for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fall away. Because, again, life happens. They grow up. They get less disposable income, what have you. All right? They move away, and they always talk about how great it was to play Magic, but it seems daunting to get back in, and it seems, you know, like, or they have to go to a local game shop, but here I am sitting at 35 years old with two kids to feed, you know, and I can't just go down to the local game shop. Well, now you can play it at home. I get it, and it's great, but you have to... And I understand the need to monetize it, and I understand shareholders, and I understand corporate America, and I'm a fan of corporate America. I'm as moderate as the day is long. You know, the whole liberal agenda is great too, but you know what? Everybody got to make a little bit of money. I'm down with that. But on the other side of that, okay, you can't do it and alienate your base. This is nothing but a... You know what? There's a reason we haven't Patreoned this podcast yet. You know, and it could happen if we get to the point where I'm spending more money than what I pay for BeLive per month, you know, where if we start really having to get into promotion or take this someplace else, then I might go to Patreon. But I'm not doing it yet, and I'm not putting ads in this podcast because it's going to alienate my listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't won your trust yet. My listeners, the viewers, Matt, I love that you're in and engaged, man. But... We haven't won the ability to be able to say, hey, we need financial help on this. come alongside and partner with us and let us do this stuff and yeah, let
we,
us
we
take this.
We haven't earned that yet.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing. Neither has Arena.
No.
And so what's going on is that, and they're seeing it, there is a major backlash going on right now. You know, with as far as I don't think I watch a few podcasts. The university guy. I discovered the Magic Historian this week. I'm kind of digging him. He's insane, and not in like the like you get the feeling this dude lives alone or
oh, that's
with
the
his
one,
mom.
That's the purple guy, right?
Yeah, he's like you know
yeah, he's
the
awesome.
People of fine quality rectangles or whatever.
Yes,
the hell
he's
it.
Awesome.
He's awesome, but you do know you get the impression like this guy has not gone on a date in a very long time.
I think he's married.
Eh, probably, but she's blind, deaf, and you know, she's Anne Frank. No, Helen Keller. Damn it, which one? I get those two confused.
Oh,
but,
my God.
But, I mean, the point I'm making is that, you know, and every single one of these people that I watch regularly and the podcasts I listen to, there isn't anybody who's like, this is kind of cool. This is going to be really exciting. They're all saying, like, this is a cash grab, and it's really, really a bad look for you.
I mean,
period.
I'll say this. Arena... Cash grab part of it aside, Arena was the best thing that could have happened to Magic when it happened.
I agree.
This has brought so many players into the game. This has brought so many players back into the game. It's brought so much exposure to the game that it didn't have before because Magic Online is tabletop Magic and the client kind of sucks.
Well, it's not just that. Because it's tabletop Magic and it's because there's so many eternal formats, it's a very daunting program to interact with,
and it's
to
not
feel.
It's 1990s. It's not even flashy.
Yeah.
It's like you play the card like you're playing on in front of, on a kitchen
yeah.
table, except it's online. That's the only difference, and it's just it's so skill intensive because you. I mean, yeah, it takes care of your like Arena does. It takes care of your stops and you know automated
yeah.
things and shuffling and all that nonsense, but. You still have to really know how to play. There's nothing on Magic Online that teaches you how to play. They teach
right.
you how to play on Arena.
Well, no, it's not just that, though. The mechanics, there's less mechanics. I think
there are much more mechanics.
Arena could churn into this if they don't find some way. Like, the historical format's great, and I'm all for it, but,
current
you know.
Current iteration, not that great. But,
huh? Yeah,
the current iteration of it's not
yeah.
that great because they're not including anything earlier than
Well, you can't.
Ixalan.
Then, yeah, but the point I'm making is that
well, they have cards coded all the way back to Dark Ascension for Arena.
You're kidding me, really?
No, they had Kaladesh and Amonkhet block already.
Right, but
it's
they didn't
there.
Have Origins. They didn't have.
They have Dark Ascension.
I wonder if what they and I'll bet you 10-1 they could find some way to take the code from Planeswalker Duel of Planeswalkers and get those in too.
The thing that sucks about the historic format is that when it starts, it's only going to be Ixalan forward, so it's going to be
yeah,
exactly standard. Up for, you know, for the first year or two until new sets come in. So it's
right.
not going to be that great off the bat when they could have really maybe preemptively ban a couple of things, but bring in Kaladesh, bring in Amonkhet.
They don't want to
bring in
energy. They don't want to bring energy
well,
back.
Well,
not
that's only that, they don't want to bring in, like, you know, Felidor Guardian. They don't want to bring in some of the other broken stuff.
They don't want to bring Scarab God. They don't want to bring, what the hell was that one blue guy that basically...
Torrential Gear Hulk?
Oh, yeah, the Gear Hulk. Like, think about it. We had a lot of good things go out in rotation.
Yeah, no.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I definitely put my God Feral
I think eventually the historic format's going to be good. It's going to need a couple of years. And I feel like they could... It's another thing they could have done better.
Right.
But like you were saying, it's just...
They keep finding ways to grasp mayness from what could be greatness.
Yeah.
You know, it is. It's meh. It's like, okay... But the money grab thing, they have to course correct. There isn't anybody that's
and
okay with
they don't
with
even
this.
Have to money grab. People are gonna spend the money anyway.
Right, because I remember when we this first started, you're like, I might pay for a draft or two. Yeah, you know.
They don't have to money grab because people are literally already throwing their money at this game, and it's free to play. And they're like, you know what? F it. I'm buying gems. This is great.
Yeah.
Why bother grabbing the money? People are like, here, take it all. I don't even need it.
So here's the thing. If you ask me whether or not you should play the Mastery, the answer to that question is, if you enjoy playing Arena, is it worth the $20? Well, you're going to get a lot of that back. They are going to give you gems. They are going to give you stuff. But you're gonna have you're basically signing up to really get the full use of it. You're gonna sign up to play as much as possible, whether that's every day or not. Well, you know, you have to accept that.
Maybe like an hour a day.
Yeah, it's still like it's like a part-time freaking job.
Yeah, well, it's an
MMO. I mean, I did it because I'm also a content creator. Okay, like for me not to do it is kind of stupid because I mean I wouldn't have the ability to talk about this if I didn't actually buy it.
Yeah.
So,
I got my fiery kitty cat. I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, I may buy it again. I mean, I'm a sucker. They know they've got me. It's like Apple, for God's sake. You know, Apple's going to introduce an iPhone that does everything my iPhone does, except, you know, they'll put an umlaut on the U on the keyboard, and I'll be like, I must have it. So, I mean, it's just stupid stuff. But that being said, if you play an arena regularly anyway, there are worse ways to spend $20.
Yeah, no.
If you're not somebody who plays regularly, if you're somebody who is just kind of logging in to do the 15 wins, you know, like on a Saturday or Sunday, and you just kind of grinded it out and had a fun for a couple hours, yeah, it sucks. You kind of got hosed. Buying the Mastery Pass isn't going to necessarily help you. It isn't. I mean, it 3 wins is 3 wins. Yeah. And that's all you get.
I mean, we're going to have to see what they do in a month after they get rid of that boost and see if they replace it with something or if they tinker with it. I mean, they have at least shown the willingness and the ability to change things.
Yeah, exactly.
They listen to their player base in that regard somewhat.
They'll course correct as much as their shareholders will let them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but with that, I mean, we are over time, which is kind of great because I wasn't sure we'd have enough to fill out a show, but... You know, with that, we might as well get ourselves over to
End Step.
All right, End Step. So, we're going to start picking our cards up here, putting them back in the boxes, rolling up our play mats, you know, saying goodbye to all of our friends and stuff. But as we start picking this stuff together, just want to remind you guys, and Matt, this is what we talked about. Both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planestalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch. I'm at Mindcrime73, like the Queensryche song.
Oh, is that what that's from?
Yes. Oh, dude, I love that album.
Oh, okay.
It's like one of my top 10 favorite albums of all time.
Okay, cool. I can respect that. So I am also on Twitch. You can follow me at RMACWRX, but I recommend against it right now because, like I said earlier in the show, if you were paying attention, listeners, I don't stream right now because stuff...
Because life.
Because life is being very mean to me right now. Black cloud.
Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly.
John Lennon. Yeah. The Beatles.
Exactly. So, yeah. I'm on Twitch. If you want to see any of our content on Twitch, go to the Planestalkers podcast. But I am at RMACWRX, just in case you want to throw a follow there for the eventuality that I do return, which will happen.
I am inevitable. I am Iron Man, but go on.
Okay, cool. I guess you win. If Twitter is more your speed, though, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter. We try to tweet occasionally just to keep up with, like, if one of us does like a tournament or if there's a particular issue that we care about, we want to see, you know, what you guys think. That's what we'll be.
Yes, and my personal Twitter is at WR Benson, which I never ever tweet on. But of course, you can always follow us on Facebook, which some of you probably, you know, those of you watching live right now are on. We do stream the show live on Facebook. We may switch to Twitch at some point, but for right now, we stream on Facebook Live, and you can look us up at Planestalkers Podcast and like and follow our page there because we love the likes. It makes us feel good about ourselves as human beings.
And are you guys noticing a twend? A twend.
A twend?
A twend.
Are you a Wascally Webby?
It's late. Leave me alone. So, I have a Twitch. I don't use it. He has a Twitter. He doesn't use it. So, it all equals out because it all funnels through the main Planestalker Pod thingy. Anyway, that being said, now that I've regained the ability to talk, barely... Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. Anything you want to talk about in addition to that, like if you just want to drop a line about how the show is doing, you can send us an email to do that.
Hey, we'll even take love advice, man. I'll be glad to talk to you about your relationships. And, you know, basically my advice is always going to be the same. She's right.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we'd love to do that, too. I'll just be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, there's two rules for a successful relationship. Rule number one, she's right. Rule number two, if she's wrong, see rule number one.
Right, exactly.
And if you are interested in sending us an email, we really appreciate it if you do. Our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Okay, and finally, you listen, you're hearing this show probably either through iTunes or any number of other Stitcher. I'd love to get us on iHeartRadio, but I'm working on it. Google Play, any of that. But we'd love to have you write a review for us on iTunes. It does help. We're at 5 stars right now. But we'd love to have some more reviews coming out for us right now. And just feel free to do that. Any positive ones, we'll read them on the show. We'll read the negative ones too, but we'll make fun of you while we do it. So with that, we're going to go ahead and back ourselves out of here. It's been a great time. We will try to be on next week, guys. I mean, I'm getting married a week from Saturday. But we're going to try one more to, you know, maybe it'll be my bachelor party. Maybe I'll have Aramis drink, you know, a glass of wine or something in honor of my nuptials. No? No? God dang it. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson. We're going to sign off now. You guys have a great week. Enjoy your summer. We'll see you guys next week. And remember to always leave some of your lands untapped because you never know when you'll need them. Take care.